Now, if you, how many were here last week when I did the sermon? I started out talking, I'm doing a series called The Real Church. The Real Church. And in it, I am talking about the real church, and I'm talking about this church is going to be a real church. Now, if you remember last time, I talked about the real church was the church where the power of God is in demonstration. People are helped. You know, on this, if you wanted to go to Starbucks or someplace that sells coffee and you ordered coffee, you would expect to get something that tastes like coffee, wouldn't you? You don't expect it to be weak and barely be able to taste it and having no effect. You expect to get a cup of coffee that is strong, bold, and has enough power to make a difference. Amen. Now here's the question. Okay, what is stronger, the coffee you drink or your Christianity? Come on, that's a little thought-provoking, isn't it? You know, but the Bible encourages us to hang out with people who believe the Word of God and are willing to use the Word of God and the power of God to help others. You know, the Bible encourages the church. And you realize the church is a local building, but actually we the people are the real church. And the Bible encourages us to be strong, bold, and powerful enough to help change somebody's life. Now, I want you to turn to Acts 2, and we'll start reading with verse 41 in the New King James. Acts 2, verse 41. Acts 2, verse 41. I'm learning to slow down and let y'all turn to the scriptures, okay? My wife has been after me, and she's about got me trained now, I think. No, I don't guarantee it always, but I'll try. All right. Then those who gladly received the word were baptized, and that day about 3,000 souls were added to them. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine, fellowshipping in the breaking of bread and in prayer. The fear came over every soul, and many wonders and signs were done through the apostles. Now all who believed were gathered together and had all things in common, sold their possessions, goods, and divided them among all as everyone had a need. So continually, daily, with one accord in the temple, breaking bread from house to house, they ate their food with gladness and simplicity of heart, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to the church daily those who were being saved. Now this is a picture of the early church, and they were dealing both in the natural and the spiritual needs of people. Okay? The early church was strong and it was powerful enough to make a difference in people's life. Have you ever noticed around here that we do our best to minister to the spiritual and the physical needs of everybody? Anybody noticed that? You see, they took the example from Jesus. He was powerful, he was strong, and he affected those he come in contact with. That should be a picture of the church today. Let me ask you a question. Are you bold enough and strong enough and powerful enough to change the world around you? Let's go to Luke 13, verse 10. Now he was teaching in one of the synagogues on the Sabbath. And behold, there was a woman who had a spirit of infirmity 18 years and was bent over and could no way raise herself up. But when Jesus saw her, he called her to him and said, "Woman, you are loosed from your infirmity." And he laid his hands on her, and immediately she was made straight and glorified God. But the ruler of the synagogue answered with indignation because Jesus had healed on the Sabbath, and he said to the crowd, If there not 6 days in which men ought to work, and therefore come and be healed on them and not on the Sabbath? The Lord then answered him and said, Hypocrite, does not each of you on the Sabbath loose his ox or his donkey from the stall and lead it away to water it? So ought not this woman, being a daughter of Abraham, whom Satan has bound, think of it for 18 years, to be loosed from the bond on the Sabbath? Now here was a lady, she's all bent over, she had a spirit of infirmity, Jesus said. Now not all people that have sickness or bent over have an evil spirit, but there was one here, so a spirit in there. Now Jesus accessed the power of God on her behalf. He laid hands on her and she was healed. The problem is that when the power of God was in demonstration, the religious people got mad. Religious people have a form of godliness, but they deny the power thereof. You know, here she was, 18 years she'd been in this condition. She'd probably been coming to that same synagogue for those years. Hey, and even though they talked about healing in the covenant, they talked about it, but nobody did nothing for her. Until Jesus came traveling by and set her free. He did what those others couldn't do. When he showed up and demonstrated the power of God, they got mad about it. They got upset. Have you ever noticed when the power of God starts to be in demonstration that there's a lot of people get upset? Anybody ever notice that? Because it don't fit their mold. It don't fit what they think religion is supposed to be or church is supposed to be. But if I read the Bible and understand what the Bible says, the church is supposed to minister to the whole individual. All the needs, salvation, spiritual needs, as well as physical, as natural needs. Hello? You know, here, he came demonstrating the power of God, and the church got mad. Now, Apostle Paul says something that's very interesting here in 1 Corinthians 2. 1 Corinthians 2. 1 Corinthians 2, verse 4. 1 Corinthians 2, verse 4. Paul, Christianity, was strong enough to change his world. Now, listen to what he said. And my speech and my preaching were not with persuasive words of human wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power, that your faith should not be in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. It's not how well that a sermon can be delivered. Paul was one of the most educated men of his time. But he said it wasn't his oratorical ability. It wasn't his preaching. But he said it was the demonstration of the Spirit and of the power of God. Demonstration. That means they saw something. If you go back and read there, start up and read when we just started on our verse 41. But if you go back and read the whole chapter of Acts, that second chapter of Acts, you'll find out that it was a demonstration of the power of God that got the people's attention in the first place. And then Peter preached to them. You see, we must preach under the anointing of the Holy Spirit. When I talk to young ministers and I tell them, I say, prepare if there's no such thing as the Holy Spirit and preach as if there's only the Holy Spirit. What am I saying? I'm saying take your natural ability and prepare a message that somebody can understand, that is intelligent and intelligible, and that can be followed. All right? But if it's just words with no power, then it is of no effect. It's the power of God. Paul touched people's lives. He shook the world he lived in with the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Are we shaking the world that we live in? Are we demonstrating what the real church is all about? Inside of this building and as we go out. Because you see, we are the church, and this is the church building, but the church goes out to touch everybody around. How many understand what I'm talking to you about? See, it's in the theological terms, it's called the ecclesia, the called out ones, the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. That is the whole church all over the world. Then you have your individual churches like we are, but we are a part of the real church. Now, I said the real church. The church that's demonstrating the power of God. You see, Paul was determined that he was going to demonstrate to the world the power of God. Because he had been one of those that was educated. He knew the law. You go read him, read his story. He knew the law. He knew it all. But he began to realize that it was the power of God that was important. Now, Paul probably would have been called, he was called an extremist because of his belief and his conduct. Many people of that day, you'll find out, they rose up against him. That's one reason he got thrown in prison. They rose up against him. And because they didn't necessarily, it went against the religious tradition. And they didn't necessarily think, you know, those people there, they didn't believe what Paul was doing. I think their relatives are still alive today. The fact is that Paul was getting the job done. Paul said he fought a good fight and he finished his course. Will you be able to say that when the time comes? You see, the real church is a church that not only speaks the word, but demonstrates the word. Today, you can go into a lot of places, you can read their statements, their commission statements, and all of their, what they believe on paper. But when it starts actually happening in their midst, they say, wait a minute. Come on now, don't run off from me now. I'm just getting started good. Rhema Bible Church, we want to be strong and bold with the power of God to change our world. That's why we preach the message of faith. That's why that shield of faith is on the top of this building. Because faith in God will change people's lives. It has changed your life. Of course, we go, now you know where I'm going, Mark 11. The cornerstone scripture that this ministry is built on. Mark 11, 23 and 24. For assuredly I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, be removed, and be thou cast in the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that those things he says will be done, he will have whatever he says. 24, therefore I say to you, whatever things you ask when you pray, believe that you receive them, and you will have them. Faith in God is possible. Faith in God is necessary. Faith in God. Let me say it this way. With faith in God, you believe and speak to the mountains in your life. Faith in God will get you whatever you need. We believe, Rhema Bible Church believes that the power of God is available to those who will have faith in God. Right? That's the real. The real church has faith in God. Blind faith. Blind trust. The real church has faith in the promises of God. The real church has faith in the power of the blood of Jesus Christ. There's power in the blood. The real church has faith in God to move the mountains out of your life. Having faith in God will meet every need you have. With the God kind of faith, nothing is impossible. Luke 18:27, when it's impossible with man, it's possible with God. Faith in the name of Jesus. You know, that's something that people don't talk about today very much when they don't. But I want you to notice that Jesus gave a complete exposition of it. And he talked about it. And he told his disciples, up until this time, you've asked nothing in my name. But after I go away, you will ask the Father in my name and he will give it to you. That's why it is important when you pray, to pray in Jesus' name. That's why it's important to conclude your prayer in the name of Jesus. Amen. In the name of Jesus, because there it is. You know, some people say, well, we don't want to offend anybody. Let's just say in his name. No, let's say in Jesus' name. He didn't say ask in his name, said ask in my name. What was his name? Then whose name are we supposed to, say in his name, or are we supposed to say the name? You know, one of these ushers go somewhere and tell somebody something, said, he said it. But if they go say, Pastor Hagin said, amen. Do you notice there's a difference? Huh? See, in his name, the power is in the name of Jesus, in the blood of Jesus, in the power of the cross. We sing the song, the power of the cross. That's where the power is. That's what the real church is a part of. And they do not shy away from the cross. They do not shy away from the blood, preaching about the blood of Jesus. They do not shy away from having the demonstration by having people prayed for and having people healed. Now, I'm not in favor of a bunch of wild junk. Come on. But there is such a thing as a demonstration of the Spirit of God. If you read Acts chapter 2, you'll find out that those people saw them and they saw something going on that was out of the ordinary. Hello. You know, one of the best things you can do is always be in a church that is the real church. Like here, where we believe and preach that faith in God will get your every need met. What do we have around here that makes us a real church? We have prayer groups that'll pray for you. We have people in this church, you, that will pray for the needs of anybody that you come in contact with. Why do we say so much about the subject of faith? It's because whatever you need from God is obtained by faith, by believing God. That's why we emphasize faith so much. Because it's through faith that you receive every promise in the book that he has written. Let's just go down the list for a minute. Through faith you have salvation. Through faith you have healing and deliverance. Through faith you have protection and safety. Through faith you have provision and abundance. Hello. Come on now. You know, we need to get an attitude. Somebody said, well, we don't need attitude. Yeah, we need to get this attitude. You know, if you can't be here in Raymond Bible Church, you need to have the attitude, I fought too hard for my faith to go sit somewhere where they preach doubt and unbelief and do not have the demonstration of the power of God. I'm not preaching against anybody. I'm telling you what a real church is. I'm just talking about the real church from the Word of God. See, in Raymond Bible Church is the real church. We have the power of God. We have faith in God. We believe that if you will believe and speak the word, you will have whatever the Word of God says you can have. When you have faith in God's Word and believe and speak, the power of God is released on your behalf or whoever you're speaking to. What kind of church is Rhema Bible Church? We're strong. We're bold. Hello? We believe that we have the answer to people's problems. Because that's what the Bible says. Now it all comes back. See, it all comes back to believing that the Word of God is the Word of God. The Bible says, "If you must believe. If you come to him, you must believe." See, the reason a lot of people are not getting anything, they don't believe. Many, many places that used to demonstrate the power of God are no longer demonstrating the power of God. We have a church here, the real church, with faith to change our lives and the people around us. The real church has the power of God in demonstration. We are not and don't want to be like the ones Paul talks about in Timothy, 2 Timothy 3:5. Having a form of godliness, but denying its power, and from such people turn away. That's what Paul said. Now, I get so disgusted at people all the time saying, well, this church does this, and this one. And I've gotten so disgusted here lately, I've been saying, but we're not them. We're Rhema Bible Church, and we're going to be Rhema Bible Church. If you want a form of godliness and no power, then go where they are. But if you want where the power of God is, where the anointing of God is, where that your life can be touched and changed, then right here where you need to be. The real church has the power of God in demonstration. It doesn't relegate it to a back room. The real church doesn't tell the Holy Spirit and God when it can move. Now, like I said, I don't want a bunch of wild junk going on, but I do believe in the true moving of the Spirit of God. There's a difference between the two. And I've lived long enough to know the difference between it. Somebody said, well, you let a little bit of it go on. Yeah, if it gets too bad, you do something about it. But I want to tell you what, most of the time there's enough wet blankets around to put it out anyway, so. Over the years, I've realized that people that are really spiritual, that are in the real church, when they see some of this going on, they realize it's just flesh and they don't pay any attention to it. Hello. There is the Spirit of God, though. There is the demonstration of the power of God. When I talked about it last week, if you remember at the end of the service that we had a healing line, I don't know how many people told me later that they received instant healings. That's what I'm talking about, the real church. Hello. I'm not talking about if somebody jumps or shouts or somebody runs or somebody laughs. That will happen occasionally. But I tell you what, that, you know, somebody, when that happens, that we really had a Holy Ghost service. Well, that may have been a Holy Ghost service, but today's service is just as much Holy Ghost as any other service. See, real church people understand that it's not all emotion. There may be some emotion, but it's not all emotion. Real church people understand that it's the real power of God. Anybody understand what I'm saying to you this morning? Anybody getting anything out of this today? Rhema Bible Church is the greatest place in the world you could be. Because here you can find salvation in the real church. You can find a revelation knowledge of God's word. See, you go to some places, they give you a good little pick-me-up speech. But do they give you real revelation knowledge of God's word? Come on now. Look at it. Hey. Somebody said, you're getting bold. Yeah, I'm going to get bold. Somebody said, you know what? You're streaming this. They're going to hear you all over. Sure, they are. But I'm still going to stick with what the Word of God says. I'm not going to back down from what the Bible says. Because we're living in the last days. And I'm going to tell you what. It is the power of God that's going to keep people safe. It's the power of God operating in the real church. In fact, after I preached last Sunday morning, I was standing at the door and some people went out and they said that they had been at a real church and then they went to another place and they said all of a sudden, they realized, wait a minute, I'm not getting anything. And they said they came back here and they were encouraging me to go ahead and to preach the real church. Somebody said, are you preaching like that? You're going to lose members. Well, for every one I lose, I'll get three back. Because there are people that are looking for the power of God. The Rhema Bible Church is a place that you can be filled with the Spirit. Rhema Bible Church is a place where the real church with healing and deliverance, protection and safety, provision and prosperity, peace and joy, righteousness and holiness. How many of you, this list I just went over, you have found when you came here, those things, you begin to hear them and they begin to demonstrate in your life? It's not all because of the preaching from the word, from the pulpit. It's from you. as you demonstrate the real church, people will see it. And they'll come. I prayed at that chili bowl last night. And I've been doing it for, 15 years or more. I don't know how many years. I am walking back up to where they've given me a place to sit. And I have people stopping me. Because I got pretty specific about Jesus and some, talking about Jesus as I was praying. And thank you for your prayer. I hadn't gone very far. I had over 5 people stop me. And then I'm going. Then I got through that. That was after I come off the infield and praying. And I'm walking up back up into the bleachers and where I sit. And I had more people stop me. Say, "You're the preacher that prayed." And I said, "Yes, sir." Said, "I want to thank you." The real church demonstrates the power of God, and it's not in some outlandish fashion, but it touches people's hearts. I had one man say to me, "I noticed you don't write your prayer out." And I said, "No, I don't. I speak it from my heart." He said, "You can tell it. It's real. It's not something that's not real." That's what he said to me last night. I'm talking about we're the real church. Hey, we come together here and we meet together and praise God for all that. But we go out those doors. We become the real church, touching people's lives, changing people's lives. That's what the real church does. We come together. Here's where we get our battery recharged. Here's where Rhema Bible Church gets recharged. And then Rhema Bible Church goes out the doors and touches everybody they come in contact with. You don't have to pray for them. You don't have to preach them a sermon. As you touch them with your life, they will see a difference. I didn't preach nobody a sermon last night, but and as I walk around, they see a difference in me. Do they see a difference in you? Are you the real church? Remember, the real church is us as we come together. And each one of us as we go out. Heavenly Father, I've talked to these people for a few moments tonight, today. May every one of them receive what we were talking about. And may we be in demonstration of the power of God everywhere we go. I thank you for it in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Did anybody understand what I'm trying to get over to you and talking about the real church? I got one more message that I'm going to go with on the real church. What is this?
The acronym RBC.
RBC. What does RBC stand for? Real Bowl Church. I think he's one of my students. He sent that up to the front. RBC, Real Bold Church. Thank you, Laurels. We need to pick up on that one, people. I believe that's coming from God. You know, we just thought, well, Rhema Bible Church. We use the acronym RBC. But Real Bold Church. Turn to your neighbor and say, "We're a Real Bold Church. I'm a real bold church going into the world to touch somebody, to demonstrate the power of God." Hallelujah. Lift your hands and thank God. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Glory to God.